And I omitted to say at the beginning, this is called Transfiguration Sunday, so August 6th. And it's obviously a focus this morning for our word. I wanted to talk to you about mountains and valleys. And I don't know if you know that this year of 2023 is the 400th anniversary of a French philosopher, mathematician, and great Christian called Blaise Pascal. One of my favorites. He had a very unique way of expressing himself, just like myself, in a Scottish accent, you know. But the way he would balance his little short, pithy, brief statements, I've just got to share a couple with you. They're somewhat comical, I think. This is one of them. He says, men despise religion. They hate it and are afraid that it may be true. He goes on to say, there are only two kinds of people, the righteous who think that they are sinners and the sinners who think that they are righteous. Think about that, eh? One of his major thoughts was on the issue of what's called the Enlightenment. And that was a period in history in the 1500s, 1600s onwards, when people began to really draw away from thinking about God in the sense of they became more rationalistic. And Blaise Pascal had an experience of Jesus one day, just being alone in a place, had a real sense of the power of the Son of God. And he became a kind of a reaction against the rationalism of the Enlightenment, as we call it. Another thing he said is, I'd rather live as if God exists to find out that he doesn't than live as if he doesn't exist and find out that he does. There's a whole pile of statements like that, brothers and sisters. I guess he was the first Christian philosopher to acknowledge that as we look at the world itself, it could be random. You know, it might look like there's no God, you know, the problem of evil, etc. But he was extremely focused. He was a brilliant man. And he says this, he would be probably more of a close to a Calvinist position when you hear it. Like they used to call us the Jansenists in France. And he says this, if we let ourselves believe that humanity began by divine grace, that we forfeited this by sin, and that we can be redeemed only by divine grace through the crucified Christ, then we shall find peace of mind. This is never granted to philosophers. Those who cannot believe are cursed, for they reveal by their unbelief that God has not chosen to give them grace. Now, when I saw that, I heard that first, I had to sort of think about it a little more. Like, some of his thoughts are extremely profound, eh? But the one I think, just as a preamble to our readings and comment on our readings this morning, Pascal says this in his world that was becoming more and more, I'll say, atheistic. He said, in the domain of faith, there is enough light for those who want to believe and enough shadows for those who don't. And you see, is that something timeless about him, brothers and sisters? He actually talks quite well to our generation. I think that it seems to have lost its faith, and perhaps a church that sees its first love sort of dwindling a little as we look around our country and our nation. So I was thinking about Blaise Pascal. Because in one sense, he was a man who believed in God's revelation. That's really what the, the readings are challenging us with this morning. So my question to us all is this, what are they saying to us today, the transfiguration and that beautiful reading from Daniel? How do we fit these round peg readings into our square pegged lives? Okay? Let's just summarize them and go through them again. That reading from Daniel, a favorite of mine, and we hear about the Ancient of Days, God the Father, described clothing white as snow, hair pure wool, and there's 10,000 times 10,000 worshiping him. Just imagine that in the core of heaven, just beyond our ken, beyond our understanding. And then a mysterious person is presented to him. And he's called the Son of Man, or a Son of Man. Now, initially, it sounds like a human being, but it's mysterious because as you read on, Daniel says, dominion and glory and kingdom is given to this Son of Man. All peoples and nations and languages should serve him. Now, the word serve has a connotation also of worship. So as I say, this mysterious, the Jewish people, of course, were very strong on just worshiping God, the one true God. This is a Son of Man, a human being, and all these people are going to worship. What's going on? So it raises questions for them, and Daniel was in a very great time of captivity, and he's sending these truths firing out there like cruise missiles, you know, trying to wake up his the context of his people. From this, we move to the beautiful Gospel of Luke. Luke's one of my favorites. I got lots of favorites this morning. I don't know why. Jesus Messiah is a favorite of mine. Where did Bethany go? But the transfiguration in Luke is a little different because Mark and Matthew are really close on it, but Luke does some different things. First of all, he's into telling that Jesus took these disciples, and it's John and James, not James and John. I don't know why they do it that way, but it doesn't seem to make much difference. But he takes them up on the mountain, and he specifically says to pray. And Luke has sometimes been called the Gospel of Prayer. Every at a drop of a hat, Luke is always talking about praying or eating. We'll figure, eh? There's a lot of parts of Luke where he's talking about banquets and eating, but also prayer. And also he says Elijah and Moses appear in glory with Jesus. And this is very unique to Luke. They're talking with Jesus about his departure in Jerusalem. In Greek, it's Exodus, or his passing in Jerusalem. So you see this, they're on this lovely mountain, and there's glories all around here, and they're talking about what's going to happen in Jerusalem, okay? So this begins to season our glorious experience, our vision, that James, John and James and Peter experienced. So if we kind of fast forward a few verses that's in chapter 9, it's not in our reading, we have Jesus, Luke telling us, Jesus setting his face resolutely to go to Jerusalem. I'm looking for east, and I don't know where it is, but that was what he's absolutely focused on, going to Jerusalem again. And the context, brothers and sisters, of the transfiguration in all three of the synoptic gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the context, there's a prediction that Jesus makes of his passion. There's a second prediction, and in the middle, there's the transfiguration. So it's kind of sandwiched between these two important passages. So you see, the transfiguration, though it's a mountaintop experience, like the vision of Daniel again, harking back to that. It's about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. It's key. And you know, you didn't hear it this morning, but sometimes they have a reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, and Peter refers to being on that mountain with Jesus. And he says, it's very interesting, he says, he explains that the apostles and himself, the rest of them and the disciples, they were proclaiming truths, they said, that were not cleverly devised myths. He said, because we were eyewitnesses on that holy mountain and we saw the glory and the majesty of the Son of God. And it was just pure revelation. But what's kind of beautiful about it is that it brings them back to reality as well. It's nice to be on the mountain, brothers and sisters, eh? But you can't stay up there forever, can you? You have to come down into the valleys. We're going to talk about that. And really, the power of these readings are saying three things to me this morning, and I hope they stir you up just a little. The first thing is our faith, our Christian faith, is not just something we hauled out of a lucky bag. I had to ask you, do we still have lucky bags? I'm probably dating myself, because I know I thought McDonald's kind of, you know, with that little bag they had. When I was young, it was a lucky bag. Well, our faith comes from revelation. First thing, we have a revealed faith. And we have a faith based on eyewitness accounts. Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the disciples went all over spreading the truths of God's salvation for humanity. And it's something we can put all our confidence in. Like Pascal once said again, you know, it's a bit of a wager, but if you wager on faith, you'll be safe. Because if there's nothing there, well, you lose nothing. But if God's there and you wager on him, you win everything. Eh? You used to call it Pascal's conundrum. Eh? Again, it speaks well to our generation in the Western world. The second thing, brothers and sisters, the transfiguration is also strongly about the cross of Jesus Christ. A friend of mine, Brian Hupka, a Catholic priest, he went on a visit to the country of his ancestors, which was the Czech Republic. And he Brian likes to visit cathedrals. And he's a priest, so I mean, go figure, eh? So he's going through all these cathedrals, and he sees this one, I think, in the capital. And he looks up, and on the frieze of the dome, he sees the words in Latin, Ave Crux Spes Unica, Hail Cross, our only hope. Eh? Cross is our hope, brothers and sisters. If you ever listen to Billy Graham, all he preached was the cross and the cross and the cross. Eh? And that's really what the mountaintop experience is kind of sharing with us. And if you're anything like me, you know, I'm a little cynical. I wouldn't say cynical, but a little suspicious of mountaintop experiences, because Peter, John, and James, after they were up on this mountain and they saw this wonderful experience of the Lord, this great privilege, you know, a few years later, James gets beheaded, Peter gets crucified upside down, and John gets persecuted all the way wherever he's going, you know. So I was sort of thinking, you know, Lord, I think I'll skip the mountain experience. You know, it's what follows. It scares me, you know. But, you know, you have to take it as it comes, right, brothers and sisters, you know. Peter wanted to stay on that mountain, you see. Lord, it's good for us to be here. I'll make three little tents and we can just sit here, you know. No. You got to come down to the valleys. then the truth is, brothers and sisters, the valleys is where the work is done, you see. Where we go through the, and I won't say the S word, but you know, the nonsense, the stuff that life sometimes throws at us, it's in the valley. Eh? And there we experience the presence of God in a different way. Kind of hidden, maybe. Not the glorious splendor, but hiding a bit. You know, St. Teresa said, Jesus moves among the pots and the pans. Eh? All the cooks here. It's good for us to reflect on this, brothers and sisters, because you see, I think most of us would admit that we're addicted to the spectacular, you know, and God comes to us very much in the ordinary. We've got to come down from that mountaintop and roll up our sleeves and get involved in all the stuff of this earth, you know, that's our call as disciples of Jesus, as ambassadors of Christ. So this third thing, this mountaintop then, what's its function? It's simply this. It's to encourage us to give our memories something to focus on as we're in the valleys, okay? And not only that, to remind us that this glorious experience of the Son of Man will one day be ours for eternity. Even in the valleys now, we can struggle, we can sometimes, you know, the Monday morning thing, you know, who likes Monday mornings? Like, you know, if they do, you probably think they need help, you know. But that's our call in this valley, to embrace the valley. And let my last word be that of Pascal again. He said this: all the maxims have been written. It only remains to put them into practice. Amen. God bless you.